Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Don't want to interrupt people greeting. Loving on each other, that's always good. Need the worship team sometime. That'd be awesome, right? Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is doing awesome things in our city. We've been praying for the Lord to move and heard from a pastor yesterday that he's been moving mightily. So praise God. I believe he's been moving mightily in our hearts and our lives. So we're thankful for that. But this is a new day for us to experience what God has for us today. Yesterday's in the past, right? Let's try to leave it there and not dwell on things from the past. Let's just look at what he's going to do in our lives today and in the future. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to gather in you. Lord, we know that you are the one, Lord, that's given us life. You've given us life abundantly. Lord, you've given us the ability, Lord, to praise and worship you, Lord. So today, Lord, we choose to lift you up in this place. We choose to exalt the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know that you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, when we lift you up, Lord, you draw us to yourself, Lord. So I pray today that as we take this time in this service and lift your name high and praise you and give you the honor that you're due, Lord, that you would allow your presence to fill us, Lord, in a new, deep, and supernatural way. We love you, Jesus. And we love Jesus because you first loved us and you demonstrated your love for us, Lord, when you died on the cross for us. And we are grateful and we're thankful, Lord, for that love. We just ask right now, Lord, that anyone that's hearing my voice that's had a hard week, Lord, or a hard month, or even a hard life, Lord, that you would bring liberty and freedom to them today, Lord. We just ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Yeah, why don't we stand today, church, as we get to
thank you.
hopes, my dreams. And here's my life, Lord, I sacrifice. Song I sing, and hears every melody, just impress with them before they do anything impressive. So I believe the Lord wants us to know today that what moves His heart is you. What moves His heart is when you do what you do. Even if it doesn't look like the person next to you, even if it doesn't look like the person you see on social media, even if it doesn't look like the most spiritual person that you know, but that you move His heart. Yeah, let's sing this out. This is what I think He says.
Sing a song from your heart.
Jesus.
to the God who died on the cross for you, and he'd do it again if he had to. He loves you. Lift your voice. Your voice is beautiful to him. It doesn't matter what you sound like. Somebody tell him thank you. Thank you.
chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
I'm chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
I'm chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
I am.
I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
His child. He wants you to come home. Stay in his house. Let him provide. Let him provide for you. You don't have to do it on your own. You're called to let God do it for you and to hold on to that with everything that you have. Receive his gift of love. Call out to Jesus. Tell him, thank you. I need you. Today and every day. If you have to wake up every morning and say, Jesus, I need you, if that's what it takes for you to know how much he loves you and how much he wants to provide for you, do it. Every day we try to pick it up and do it on our own. Why? You're not called to do that. You're called to submit to his love. You're called to receive his love. And he takes care of the rest. He grows you closer to him. He keeps you on the right path. He convicts you of your sin. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit that resides in us, around us, and leads our lives, picks us up when we fall, and calls us home again.
be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. You will be praised. You will be praised with angels and saints. We sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised. You will be praised with angels and saints. We sing, worthy are you, Lord.
And you will be saved. And you will be saved with angels and saints.
Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips.
Of all life. You're the source, Lord, of our salvation. You're the source, Lord, of our sameness that we have in this crazy world. Lord, you're the source of joy when it seems like we should be in sorrow. Lord, because of many other reasons, Lord, that you're our source, we praise you. And help it to be ever be on our lips. Help us, Lord, to constantly be remembering that you're the reason, Lord, that we have peace in the storm. You're the reason, Lord, that we have joy in the crisis. Thank you, Jesus. You're the reason, Lord, that we can feel free, Lord, when it seems like everything around us tries to shut us in and imprison us, Lord. You have made us free. It doesn't matter what our physical situation looks like, Lord. You have made us free. And because you've made us free, Lord, we're free indeed. We thank you for that, Lord. We praise you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. After we take communion, can we do nothing but the blood? Yeah, I think that'd be good to end with that. Yeah, if you'll come back up. Yeah, thanks. Oops. Yeah, I was telling Lay that this table's unstable. I need to get some weight on it.
We can bring the old one back.
Huh?
We can bring the old one back. That one's heavier.
The old one?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember which one was. Oh, yeah. Where is that table? I think it left with one of the churches that was here. Praise the Lord. So I wanted to let everyone know again that however you want to give, you can either give like in our box up front that has been moved up there. Usually it's on that table off to the side, and we have a box in back. And then a lot of people are taking the opportunity to just give online, and that's through PayPal. And you can go to olfw.net and give that way. And I want to thank everyone who was here yesterday at the church work day. It was a great time, a lot of hard workers, and just thank you all for coming. I know that a lot of you have other things to do on Saturdays, but it's nice to see that everybody wanted to make the house and the yard and everything look good, so praise the Lord. And many hands make light work, and we got to see that yesterday. I think we were done. Most of us. In about 2.5 hours. Some were here a little later. Myla and Matt stayed a little bit late. If you notice these windows, they are clear and clean. But what you notice, you can see through them. So they both worked on that. So thank you guys for staying late and doing that. We appreciate that. And it's good to be in partnership. You know, where you're not just, you know, doing something on your own. And, well, and we really felt that yesterday, that people were partnering.
And Myla had Matt go home, get a board so she could be on the outside window, up on that board like a...
on a ladder. Well, because they had to cover the grates.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'm like yelling at her, go home! But we do thank everybody for... that came and showed up and helped.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. So is there anybody that would like to pray for our government today? Anybody on anybody's heart? No, no one today? Okay. I know the government is sometimes sore deal, but the Bible says that we're to pray for every political leader and representative, no matter what party they're from, so that we should be able to live tranquil lives, quiet and peaceful lives. One of another translation said undisturbed. And how many feel like maybe last year your life was disturbed?
A lot.
And so, you know, this is one of the requests that's made by Paul to Timothy, but also for the church. And so, Lord, we right now are going to pray for our government. Lord, we pray for our President Biden, Lord. Pray for his cabinet. Lord, we pray that you would allow this cabinet and the president and everyone that's involved with that administration, Lord, to make godly decisions. Lord, we choose not to look at the outside circumstances and the way that we think that they would go with circumstances. Lord, we know that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. So, Father, we pray that you would just steer his heart, steer his cabinet's heart, Lord, to make godly decisions that you need to be made and want to have made, Lord. Pray for our Congress, Lord, the Senate, Lord, that you would just let godly people rise up into those positions, Lord. And if there's ones that are in positions, Lord, that resist you, Lord, we pray that you would allow other individuals to come in their place that would hear your voice and would do, Lord, what you would desire them to do. And Lord, we know that our nation is somewhat in turmoil. So Lord, we pray that you would just do a supernatural work, Lord, in our nation, Lord, especially in our political areas, Lord, of our nation, Lord, in those individuals that seem to be resisting you, Lord, we pray that you would just allow their hearts to come to a place of repentance and to receive you, Lord, and your truth into their life. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we're praying for Yakima every Sunday. Anybody's heart wants to pray for Yakima today? No? Okay. You okay. Herman, thank you.
Heavenly Father, we lift up our city, our county to you, Father God. We ask, Lord, for tremendous healing, Father God, for spiritual uplifts, Father, for abundant crops this year, for great water flow, Father God, for minds to be cleared, Heavenly Father, in every town that's in our map, Father God, in our neighbors' homes, in our streets, Heavenly Father. Let your love overflow, Father God, and just cover every square inch, every mile, Father God. And not just here, Lord, as people of prayer and faith travel outside our county, Father God. May that spiritual magnetism that they have, Lord, follow them and leave a trail, Lord, crumb trails, Father God, to bring people, Lord, to your cross, Father God, to bring people, Father God, together, and most of all, be focused on you, Father. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Herman. Thank you, praise Herman. The Lord.
We should have our map soon.
Yes. Still waiting on the final approval. Everybody has sent it out, but haven't heard yet. So we're going to talk today about the new covenant. And I was telling Gay, I've battled over trying this the message for today. Usually it's just really easy. I just know in my heart that if I haven't gotten anything, that we're going to continue through the book of John, but that just didn't feel right today. And I was studying about the place of the skull, which is Golgotha, and I just didn't get a release for that. Mm-hmm. And so then I just said, okay, Lord, what do you want today? And I really felt that he put on my heart communion. And so communion is really the birth of the new covenant, as we'll see in the scriptures. So let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. Can you read, or you
Can
want
I
me to read?
Can I ask you a favor?
Yes.
Would you just, from your heart, share about when God really impressed on you about communion? When you started writing the book and...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
I just want everybody to hear your heart.
I know, that's a lot.
but
yeah, well
that
let me just put it
thing.
This way. When I was seeking the whole truth and nothing but the truth from the Lord, that's the way I was praying. Lord, I want your whole truth, nothing but your truth. One of the things that he revealed to me during that time was about communion. I think one of the first revelations that I received about it is that and I was going to have all 12 of the things broken on. I should have done that because I actually have written a book. It's just sitting there like waiting to be published because I haven't felt like the release for that. But what I really understood in my heart was that when I took communion previously, I took it as an experience that was almost like a tradition, is the best way I could say it, and that I was celebrating what Jesus did, you know, his death, burial, and resurrection, his blood being shed for me, and I'd had, amazing experiences through the years. I had, you know, taken communion, and just before I'd taken communion, the Lord put on my heart, you know, I need to get a relationship right with somebody, and I would do that, and before I took communion, because I wanted to make sure that when I took communion, my heart was right with the Lord, and if it wasn't right with somebody else, I knew it wasn't really right with the Lord, even though sometimes your mind can say, oh yeah, it's all good. But, what I discovered in communion is that it was actually an experience of common union. That's what the word communion means. Mm-hmm. It's common union. And, I mean, it's a lot to try to get into, but basically what I discovered is that when I'm taking or participating with the elements, you know, which would be the bread and the juice, is that it's reminding me that Christ is in me. And that when he died on the cross, he didn't just die so that I could be saved. He died so that I could have relationship with him, me and him and me. However that works, supernatural. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. But in communion, it's a way of saying, Lord, I'm remembering now what you did for me so that I can have access to the Father, so I can have access to you, so that I can have relationship with you, full relationship, and so that I can experience all of your love And that's a real condensed, you know.
That's a condensed thing. Yeah. But I was editing the book, and what I got out of the book, and Mike actually read it as well, but what I got out of it was communion went from a remembrance act to part of a love relationship.
It's a participation. Yeah.
It's communion. It's common union with the Lord and you. And so I really sense the love part of it.
Right.
In the book.
Right.
But I sensed you changing as you were writing it as well. How you, wouldn't you say that, Mike? Like you, the person of Mike Lindell was connecting with Jesus in communion instead of it just being
something I was celebrating.
Right.
Right. There's nothing wrong with celebrating communion because, you know, it is a time to celebrate and remember. But I wanted to make sure that the truth of communion was truly in my heart. You know,
right.
Jesus says, you know, in John 6, which is a really powerful verse. I didn't necessarily want to get it, but he says, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have life.
Right.
And as we see here, he talks about that this bread represents his body and the juice represents his blood.
Right.
And so we are experiencing a moment where we can not just, you know, celebrate it, but partner in it.
Right.
The word communion is the same word we have for fellowship. It's koinonia. It's where we are having a partnership with God, which is interesting because most people think, again, it's something that I'm doing that's like, in a way outside of me, but I'm able to participate instead of partner. And see,
correct.
That's what God wants to do. God wants us to partner with him. He wants us to partner in his life. He became man so that we could partner in the life of God.
Mm-hmm, right.
Which is crazy when you think about it. I mean, partner in the life of God, he created everything.
Right.
You know, he was the one who spoke this whole existence, this whole universe into existence. And yet he wants to partner with us. In other words, he wants to have a relationship with us that his life is partnering in our life.
Right. And
is that what you were trying to get me to say?
What I love about koinonia is it also means fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that when I come to church and like I meet Kimberly or I'm loving on Myla because I haven't seen her for a while because they went back to Michigan for a few weeks, I enjoy that fellowship part. That part I connect with so deeply because I'm a people person. I like to touch people. I like to hug people. And COVID just messed me up because I really love that koinonia type of fellowship. And so communion, that's the roof coming off. Thank you, Jesus. It is, isn't it? Like it's blowing? Yeah.
It's wind blowing hard. Yeah, it'll
anyway,
be fine.
Anyway, I like that part of it because I'm such a people person, but what I'm trying to say about communion is it's not meant to be a stuffy, traditional thing. It's meant to be another way of communicating to Jesus and him communicating to us that we're together here. He's got my life and I have everything that I need of him in here. And I just open myself up in communion that I can love him through communion. Does that make sense?
Amen. Well, and the thing is that one of the last things that we did in communion that really messed people up, we took communion with no elements. I said, because truly we're doing a spiritual act. Even
right.
though we're using physical objects, we're doing a spiritual act. And so what I was trying to get them to understand that when we come to communion, it's all by faith. Whoa, if we don't come to communion by faith, then it's we're just going through the motions. It's just anything. If we
right.
worship here and we just sing songs, we just look at the words, but we don't enter into by faith and experience in a relationship with God, we're just going through motions.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to go through the motions, you know, because Jesus definitely did not go through the motions with me. You know, he
right.
gave it all. And so, you know, it's not that he's sitting up there, okay, I'm requiring you to worship. No, he's ready for us to worship because he knows what it will do for us.
Mm-hmm.
Worship is not about, you know, God getting his kudos. I mean, I hope we don't think that. Worship is something God allows us to do because it's another way of us connecting with God.
Right.
And that he gets to experience us from a new dynamic. Every time we worship, it's a new experience for us and God. Do you realize that?
I do.
It's not the same thing.
But I think of communion that way as well.
And that is the absolute truth.
Yes. So instead of it being traditional, let it be another act of your worship.
It could be
That's
experiential. Let's talk about communion being experience every time. And I know we haven't gotten to the scriptures, but one time we had communion as couples because we were doing a couples encounter, I think it was, a three-day encounter. Yeah. And it was just on my heart to do this as couples. And Gay and I were there and several others. And Holy Spirit, there we go, ringing the doorbell. He's already here. He doesn't have to knock to get in. But when we took communion, at least for you and I, said, oh my goodness, that was one of the most intimate experiences that we had ever had.
The most
in
powerful
the
communion experiences I've ever had.
But
ever.
I mean also intimate in our relationship that we experienced together.
Right.
It wasn't just...
In a room full of other couples.
In a room
like,
full of other couples.
It was very powerful.
Right.
And what it did for me is open my eyes to what communion is really meant to be. And it's not meant to be what Jesus did. It's meant to be what he has done and is still doing in me now.
What he does right at this moment.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Let's see if we can get to a couple of scriptures, and we'll take communion.
Sorry.
No, it's good.
So do you want 1 Corinthians?
Yes.
Which one?
No, we're going to do Luke 22. Start with Luke 22.
Sorry. No.
Yeah.
Here we go.
There you go.
And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again. I will not eat it until it is fulfilled fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood.
That's good. Let's go ahead and read Matthew. We'll just go ahead and read this portion of Matthew 26 through 30, because it's another account.
Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Okay, I'm going to go and focus on this because Matthew 26 verses 26 and 27. 26 says, take, eat, this is my body. So he's talking about the bread, and he's letting them know that the bread is his body as far as this being broken. His body was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we learn is that Jesus was broken. Why? So that we could be put back together. See, he was torn apart so God could put us back together. So that we're not like in some kind of schizophrenic life mode. How many before they're saved felt schizophrenic? Not knowing which way was up, what way was down. I mean, I would sit there and go like, what is life all about? I mean, nothing seemed to make sense. It was all crazy. I was trying to run and accomplish these goals, but I didn't know where any of them led. You know, you just are trying to live for the next day. But when Jesus came in, he put all the pieces together. And he's been putting them together ever since. I thought when I first got saved, all my pieces are together. He said, no, you've got ones over here. I'm still putting you back together. And to this day, he's still putting me back together.
Right.
So that's what he does. He was broken so that we could be made whole.
Right.
His body, obviously, if you read through Isaiah 53, you read through the account of the crucifixions, his body was broken. But it wasn't just broken physically. See, that's the thing. We have to realize that something supernatural took place, that Jesus became a totally broken vessel in the spiritual realm as well. I mean, his heart broke, his physical heart broke. We know that from when the spear pierced it, and it says that blood and water flowed. But he was also broken totally in the spirit, so that we could be whole, spirit, soul, and body.
Right.
It wasn't just a natural death. It was a supernatural death as well, because he literally became sin who knew no sin. So what? So that we could become the righteousness of God.
Right.
So it says here, and I wanted to key on this part. He says, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. I think this is interesting. He says, all of you. Do you know why? Who was there?
Judas.
Judas was there. Judas, you're about to betray me, but just as I'm in John, I washed your feet. Now I want you to know that want you to participate in this, because this is for you as well.
Yeah.
Judas never received it, but he got to participate in the inaugural event of what? Of communion.
Communion, yeah.
Wow. That's how much Jesus loves everyone, even his betrayers. He wants all to participate, just like it says the Father would have it that none would perish, but all that would come to repentance. Then he says, for this is my body, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So his blood, we talked about his body, was broken, what, so that we can be made whole. His blood was shed so that we could be washed clean, 100%. Not just covered over. See, some people think, well, our blood, the blood of Jesus, like covers our sins, but it's more than that. He washes it. He cleanses it. He makes us so that we're no longer sinful.
Right.
Now that's crazy. When our behavior looks different, right? Yeah, Myla, inside and out.
The blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Right. Exactly. He's purifying us, every part of us, spirit, soul, and body. Now, do we need to respond to that? Yeah, we do. Sure. We need to respond to that to let the full work of the cross have its way in our lives. Otherwise, we could say, "Oh, I don't have to have sin. Some people say I'm sinless, and yet their behavior doesn't show that, because there's been no sanctification. There's been no transformation into the character and nature of Christ.
Right.
But they still say, well, I'm without sin because Jesus, well, you can't respond to, a marriage relationship. Oops. You can't respond to a marriage relationship and say, like if I was to say to you, we're married, but, we're not going to live in the same house, okay. And I'm going to have my own bank account. And, in other words, I start separating myself from you. That's not much of a relationship, is it?
No.
And she said, no, you better not do that. No, it's not, because a relationship is communion. It's right. Fellowship. It's a partnership. It's lives joining together, hearts joining together. And so that's what this relationship of communion allows us to do.
Right.
Is remember all that he's done for us so that we can enter into. I see you have something to say.
Well, and it says, for this is my blood of the covenant. And the covenant was the covenant he made between he and us. He made a covenant with us that when he gave, he would save, right? And because he was righteous and the only righteous one, I always say this, one drop would have been enough for the whole world. But because he loved and still does, he gave it all.
Right.
So now it's our response. The way we respond to him is how much of a relationship we're going to walk out with him Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and on and on and on. But one drop would have done it.
Right.
He didn't have to give it all because of his righteousness. One drop would have covered everybody. But he gave it all because of love. Because of his love for us. That's a powerful love.
Yeah, it's a powerful act. It says, for God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. That's the full demonstration of God's love. Is that while we were still running away from him, not listening to him, cursing him, give him the finger, whatever you want to say, he died for us. He said, I love you that much that when you're the ugliest, always you reminded me that, I love that saying, that he didn't die for our best day, he died for our worst day, past, present, or future.
Right.
That's what his heart is that he redeemed us in our worst. Mm-hmm. Our worst condition is what the salvation of God is for.
Right.
Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Oh, I want to just point out something here. I said, and when they had sung a song or a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. That must have been some hymn. I wonder what they sang. You ever thought about that? What did they sing the very moment before they were getting ready to go out and he was going to be betrayed? And did he have some cue in that? Anyway, just one of my way I think. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. Go ahead, babe.
For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
So we have this scripture that we get from Paul when he says, I received this from the Lord. Now, how he received this from the Lord is amazing because he wasn't there with the disciples on that night.
Right.
But he received that same revelation and understanding. And so he's saying that after supper, Jesus took the cup and he says, this is the new covenant in my blood. It is the new covenant. And what is this covenant? A covenant is like a testament. It's like a will. And we have to understand that this is God saying that this is the promise I have towards you. This is the promise I'm giving you. You know, it's like in a relationship, again, between husband and wife. You know, we exchange our vows. And it's almost like God says, my vows are the ones that are powerful. All you have to do is come into agreement with them. You know, with a husband and wife, normally they're exchanging vows. But with God, it's his vows. He says, I'm giving these to you. I'm giving myself to you. All you have to do is what? Receive.
And what's amazing is the new covenant supersedes any covenant prior to.
It's a fresh, brand new covenant.
Brand new.
Yeah.
Like, it's like when you fill out a will and then you go back to the attorney and do another will. That will, the latest dated will, is the one that
they
go with.
The other one's null and void.
Null and void. So this is what he's saying. That's why he uses that word new. This is the new covenant. This is what supersedes everything else. Do it as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Because of him, there's a new covenant. Isn't that exciting? I love that. I love that.
And when we're taking communion, when we're taking communion, it's as if we're able to be saved all over again.
Right.
It can be like a fresh, brand new day. We can say, Lord, you know what? I'm receiving you and I'm receiving what you did for me afresh and anew today. You know, instead of remembering what he did or remember how he saved you 20 years ago or 5 years ago or 5 minutes ago, remember that this is also something that can be brand new in your life.
Right.
It can be a new covenant for you today. How many of you got saved multiple times? I was talking to somebody. I mean, it's healthy. It really is. It's healthy to continue to have that newness in your heart, that revitalization where it's as if you were born again. And some people say, well, we don't have to get saved again because, you know, it's like me being baptized. Remember how I wanted to be baptized a few years ago? I felt I had like new revelation, new understanding of baptism. Water baptism. I wanted to be baptized again. And so I did. And it wasn't because I needed to be,
right?
But because it was my desire. And I think the thing is like with being born again, it's kind of a need in our life. It's, we got like all kinds of things banging around today. Yeah, Vicky, please.
I was just going to say that the communion brings revival for us, personal revival.
That's good. Yes, communion brings personal revival to us.
That's good.
Yes. Because revival is reviving something that has either like dimmed out, you know, like when you revival a fire, you throw some more logs on it, right? You get them burning a little hotter, you know, so you can feel a little warmer, you know, or you stir the little embers that are left and try to kindle something, you know, that's right. And the thing is, it's all about how we approach in expectancy communion.
In a personal
way. Or worship, or coming to church, or gathering together for a fellowship time.
Or giving an offering.
Or giving an offering. It's all about how our heart is looking towards this, instead of it being something that we just do by rote. You know, it's easy. It's easy to go. Yeah, go ahead and lock that door, because I don't think anybody's coming in and out of it. It's easy to just go through the motions and miss, you know, what really God wants to do, because he wants to do something new in our lives all the time. Mm-hmm. So with that said, does anyone have anything else to share? I know a few people have said some things. I know we've had a lot of distractions. I don't think I've ever heard that before, like banging
another
around.
Thing?
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that the word revival has been on my heart a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that a few months ago.
Right.
That revival, and then there's a song that talks about the dry bones being revived.
Yeah.
And so communion is like that for me right now when I think about that. When I said it was personal revival, it's reviving our dry bones. You know, because when you've been a Christian a long time, or even for a short while, and me and Milo were talking about, we don't see the things that we're praying for. It kind of dries us out, or we don't see what our purpose is. You know, for some reason, we're just not seeing where God has us or what he has us for. We get kind of dry, and we kind of step away, but the communion revives. And remember, wine and blood are wet. And so that's what, you know, and God used the rain to revive the bones. So he's reviving us. You know, revival is just a word. It's been in my heart a lot lately.
Amen.
And I know that God's got revival coming, you know, for earth, for this country, for those of us, each and one of us individually. And when we're praying for our city, like Herman was praying for our city means that we are each going to be a light of revival to the people in our city.
Amen.
We're going, and not just Yakima, but Yakima County and our whole valley.
Right.
So that's just, you know, been playing. That's what I'm thinking.
Amen. You got one more.
And to continue with that idea of revival, one time a few years ago when I was taking communion, the Lord really put something on my heart, and I've never taken communion the same after this. Just as we eat and drink, and it like gives our body sustenance, mm-hmm. and it gives our body life and gives us energy to like go on to the day physically, when we take communion, we are literally putting Jesus in our body like that. We are not only just partaking in
right.
relationship, but we are physically putting the Lord's body and blood within ours so that he can move and work through us and be our hands and feet and our sustenance and life and energy.
Amen. That was one of the chapters, You Are What You Eat. Remember that? Okay, praise the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and have communion. I'm excited. I'm ready. So what we have here is individual cups, individual pieces of bread. So we do it kind of family style here. So if you want to, you guys can come up and grab. If you don't, we have a few in a box that we can bring to you. So however you want to do it, come up. Come on, guys. So if you are new to the experience with the Lord and you're saying, well, I don't even know what communion is, This is, like I said, this is a symbol, a communication of our relationship with God and what he's done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you, Lord.
The clear comes off first.
Oh, the clear comes off first. Yeah, let everybody get their communion.
There's a cellophane on top.
Yeah, and there's a little wafer.
And then the purple.
It's kind of like a little puzzle. I forgot that. Yeah, you're right. The clear does come off first. Thank you, Jeff. Does everybody have one? Oh, you can't do that with... Oh, that's... Yeah, must have been the wind. Oh my gosh. Yeah, if he could. Did you get it? Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your body. If you guys got the wafer off, it's like Gay said, you got to kind of take the little clear plastic off first. Lord, we thank you for your broken body. Thank you, Lord, that you were the one, Lord, that was bruised for and crushed and battered and took the stripes, Lord, for us. Lord, it says that it was because of our iniquities, Lord, that you did those things. And so, Lord, right now, we just want to thank you, Lord, for that broken body, Lord. And as we participate, Lord, today, as we partnership, as we communion, Lord, in this moment, I pray that whatever's not whole in us, Lord, whatever physical ailments we have, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, for Miriam, Lord, as she takes this communion, Lord, that you would touch her body, Lord, where it needs to be touched, Lord. You'd bring a supernatural healing to your daughter, Lord, because you took those infirmities. You took our infirmities, Lord, upon yourself. And, Lord, you became, Lord, everything that was negative about mankind, Lord, on the cross, so that we could be whole and healed and healthy and sane, Lord. So we thank you for that. We pray for Matt's back, Lord. Pray that as he takes communion, Lord, that you would touch his back. Anybody, Lord, in this service, Lord, that's having physical ailments or online, Lord, I pray that they would receive, Lord, a touch from God, Lord. So we just take this bread right now. We thank you for your broken body. We receive it with joy and expectations of the work that it can do in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Eric, do you want to do the cup? As he holds his little one. Let me get the mic for you. It might be easier. Oops. There you go.
God, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we thank you for the blood. God, we thank you that it washes us clean. Thank you, Jesus, that there's no thing in our life that is too big, too grand, too great for you to wash from us, God. Lord, as we partake in this portion of the communion, Lord, I pray that we would encounter your love, we would encounter your presence. God, that we would just be encountered by you as a son or as a daughter. And I just pray right now that as we take this communion that represents your blood, that it would also wash away bad thoughts in our mind that we think about ourselves, that we think that you think about us, God. Any sort of stinking thinking, God, we just ask right now that it would be washed away. And we just bless us in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. I forgot to put out the wastebasket. You can go and just put them up here. Are we going to do nothing but the blood? Or okay. Praise the Lord. Grab it.
Yeah, let's just worship him one more time.
And wash.
praise the Lord. I encourage everyone to just go and keep in mind that you have initiated today a fresh new relationship with God. No matter what yesterday looked like, today you can walk out fresh and new. And guess what? Tomorrow you can do the same thing. You don't have to take communion for that to happen. You just have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, right now I just receive your salvation afresh and anew in my life today. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great day, and we'll see you soon. Oh, do you want to let anyone know about Tuesday nights or anything like that? Okay.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Yeah. Gay does a cell group at 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights, and it's a Zoom. So if you are interested, you can see Gay afterwards, and then I do one 7 o'clock. Wednesday nights, and so you can see me, and you just give me your number if you'd like to join us. So God bless you all. Have an amazing day. Love you.
Monday night.